Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you here. Let's begin by turning to the chorus on hymn number 158. It's called Think About His Love. Mark, if you'd play that through once so people can... Father, thank you for this beautiful morning and the privilege and honor we have to come together as the body of Christ locally here in this fellowship to join our hearts and minds and souls together to worship and praise your name, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to encourage each other in these things that we might draw closer to you, to hear your word preached, to glorify your name in this hour. Father, it is a privilege to be here and we are humbled by it. We know that if we got what we deserved, Father, we would be separated from you forever in the lake of fire. But instead, we're going to be with you for eternity as believers in Jesus Christ, sharing in all the glory and joy and love of that day. And Father, we look forward to that day. Right now, today, we're here dealing with all the trials and issues and the attacks of the enemy. But Father, he is a defeated foe. We know the end of the story. And we pray that as we go through the coming week, that our time together here will strengthen us and help us as we engage in the battle with the enemy and for the lives of souls of men. May we be faithful to you to do that. And we pray that in this hour your name will be glorified, lifted high, and each one here will be drawn closer to you. And if there's anyone here today that has not yet put their trust in Jesus, may they do so by the end of this service or talk with someone afterwards and learn how they too can know they have eternal life. We commit this service to you and give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We have did you see the poster in the foyer that Carol put up there? Love is. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today. What is love? And here we want to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like to read verse 31 of chapter 12 first. He says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Let's have a word of prayer together. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your presence as a family, call upon your holy name, and Thank you so much for all of your great love to us, the Father's love. And we just pray that we might love you as we should. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he means to us and the love he showed as he came to earth for us. And Lord, we pray today that you will bless each one of us and draw our hearts closer to you. Help us to be able to spend time together and in your presence. May your holy will be done. We do pray, our Father, for these requests that we've received, for those who are having difficulties. We do pray that you'll undertake for them, meet their needs, that you will touch and heal them. We just thank you so much for all your grace and love to us. And we do pray, our Father, for our missionaries. We thank you for Rob Zapatosky that will be with us next week. We're looking forward to hearing his report about the work in Ukraine and throughout Eastern Europe and all of the ministry that he's involved in. We thank you, too, for his constant safety as he travels from place to place. And we pray your blessings upon our time together. We pray also for the Bardens. We thank you for them and for the work they have been doing for so long out there in Utah, and continue to be faithful, and that you will just continue to bless their work. We think of this little town of Manila up in the mountains and pray that more and more people might receive the gospel there as they're able to proclaim it. We do pray for Neva, that you'll help her to strengthen her and give her the health she needs to be able to minister also and to go along with the missionary as he serves you. Lord, we pray for all of our people today. We just pray that you'll meet the need of each and every heart and that you'll guide and help us in all that we do. You know, we pray for our country. We pray, our Father, for those who are in authority over us. We pray that they would realize that they are under your authority and that they are responsible to do what is right, good, and just in your sight. And we pray that you'll work in their hearts and lives and help them to do the right thing. And Lord, we just thank you that you are in control, even though many times it looks like it's not the case, but we know that it is. You are in control, and ultimately we are going to have the victory, and we thank you and praise you for that. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all that we do and say, we pray, in his name. Amen. I think I forgot to mention movie night. It's February 23rd, 7 p.m. We're going to watch The Secret of Jonathan Sperry. You know who Jonathan Sperry is, don't you? Well, come to the movie and you'll find out who he is. There you go. All right. It's a very good movie. I've seen it already and enjoyed it very much. It's an evangelistic type movie. All right. Right? True story. Okay, that's even better. There you go. True story. All right, very good. All right, we're looking at a more excellent way. You know, what is the more excellent way? Yeah, Paul here in this chapter, of course, is speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all of those things and how important they are, and they were for the early church especially. But here he speaks in this last verse, he says there is a more excellent way. So you can easily see the more excellent way Paul spoke of is what we read about there in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And the word translated, of course, charity in the King James Version. In most other versions it says love is the word agape, which is one of the primary words for the love of God and for the genuine type of love that we have for one another. Throughout the New Testament, it speaks using this word agape, meaning love. So charity here means love. How much more excellent it is to follow the way of love rather than some other way, right? The way of hatred, like many following today, or indifference, you know. Let's don't do anything. Let's just all sit still, right? Here we are, indifferent. Or selfishness. I am number one, right? And so the way, the most excellent way, what is it? It's the way that God has given us in His Word. The way of love is God's way. And look here, this is, it says first of all, this His love is eternal. Now I've written out all the scriptures so I wouldn't have to turn to all these things. So anyway, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Speaking to Jeremiah, who was reluctant to be a prophet. He said he couldn't speak. And yet God says, oh, I'll lead you. You know, you just do what I say. I have always loved you. From everlasting. This is the love of God. His love is unlimited. We all know what John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody in the whole wide world that believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all based upon that great everlasting love that God has for people. His love, as we know, is undeserved. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," excuse me, "for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." There it is. God, His great love, He loved us so much. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, He doesn't love us because we're such good people. No. We're sinners. We were lost and bound for hell. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die in our place. His love is redemptive. Romans 5, verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Jesus died, yes, but He arose again. He's living. He's always there. He never fails, we sang a while ago, right? We shall be saved by His life, yes. And He is going on interceding for us, even at the Father's right hand. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." The world of Jesus' time did not receive him. They did not understand him. They did not believe him. And the same thing is true today. Those who are going their own way without regard for God or his love do not understand. But we are the sons of the living God. Not because of our righteousness, no, but because of what he's done for us, right? He's done it. So the way of love is the Father's love. The way of love is Christ's way. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Right? There it is. The Father's love, Christ's love, and our love. Right? All there in that one verse. His love is self-sacrificing. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Right? Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. For the brethren. Manifested by his death. 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There it is. Just like Jesus. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. John 13, 1. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That wonderful chapter there, Romans 8, talks about all the different things, you know, that could possibly be a barrier to the blessings of God, to knowing him. But he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Once we know him as our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life, right? And he will never, ever disown us, turn us away. His love is everlasting. And so the way of the love then is the Christian way. This is the way we should live. Love, first of all, for God. And I know what I'm saying to you this morning is nothing new. We all know all this. And yet, I think it will do us well to think on it, right? And to realize love for God. It says in Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Everything that you have within you should be toward the love of God and loving him supremely. This, of course, was written to the people of Israel over in the Old Testament, but it's repeated again and again throughout the scriptures, and certainly this should be the desire of all of our hearts, that we would love the Lord. He's the one who's worthy, isn't he? He's worthy of all of our praise and thanksgiving. Love for God, love for Christ. John 14, 23 says, Jesus asked, rather, he asked Peter, well, no, I was supposed to read that one. I'm sorry. John 14, 23. I had all the rest of them written out. But anyway, John 14, 23. Let's take a look at that. Here it is. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see? Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. God the Father, God the Son are living with us. How? In the person of the Holy Spirit, right? So we have the whole Trinity living with us. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and we will be there with him. Father, Son, and obviously the Holy Spirit. He's living within us to guide us in the way that we ought to go. But we need to love him. We need to love him. And to show our love by our actions. And he says that when Peter denied him, you remember? And he had to be brought back and fell into fellowship with the Lord. Jesus asked him, he says, lovest thou me more than these? More than what? Anything. Or anybody. You know, we sometimes look at that and we wonder, what's he talking about? These? Who are these? Well, it could be the things about him. Or it could be the other disciples. Do you love me more than anything else? He says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. Now we're getting down where, you know, it hurts sometimes. We think about that, keeping the commandments that Jesus has given us. But he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, right? That's the chief one. Love each other. He just keeps going around. It's like a circle. Now we know we all fail from time to time in certain things. And we don't keep all the commandments. We know that. Commandments that Jesus gave us. But we can love one another, right? That's important. To have in our minds and hearts the interest of others. You know? Jesus, others, and you. Put him first, others in second place, and you spells what? Joy. You want to be a joyful person? Don't put yourself first. Put Jesus first. And others after him. Love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved us supremely, didn't he? He was willing to die for us. He says, you love one another in that way, just like I loved you. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently, Peter says. It's a mark of discipleship. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you love one another. How are they going to know you're a disciple if you never do anything? Love one another. And show forth that love. You know, the word agape is love, but it's love in action. Right? Love is something that you can see. Talk about love. And it's not just a passive thing, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. No, it's not that. It's that we show forth our love by our actions. And he says this is a mark of discipleship. So we need to be sincere in our love. He says, without hypocrisy. Don't pretend. That doesn't do anybody any good. He says again, abound in love one toward another. Abound in love. And then we say the way of love is described here in 1 Corinthians 13. Where there is no love, words are useless. The greatest orator is of no lasting value without love. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal or a clanging cymbal, just a noise. Language without love is noise without melody. Dr. Graham Scroggie said that. And we find here it's so important to have a true, sincere love for one another. Knowledge and faith are incomplete without love, says here in verse 2. Even though I have the gift of prophecy and understand everything, all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. We were talking about that in Sunday school. I think somebody said something, you know, about moving a mountain, right? And it doesn't do any good if you don't have that sincere, honest love for other people. The greatest sacrifice means nothing unless it's motivated by love. He says, even if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. You see, it's God looks at our hearts. He knows what we really think. And He knows how our emotions, our hearts, and everything. And if we don't have the right attitude, it does no good. You might feel sorry for someone. I know we get solicitations all the time, right? With all these different people, starving children and everything that's going on. And it does grip your heart. But, you know, if we don't really love people, it doesn't make any difference. God doesn't give us credit for that. Doesn't seem like. As far as our crowns will be and so forth. But anyway, we see here love described in the next verses, in verse 4? It starts telling you what, verse 5 actually. It says, it is long-suffering, or patient. It doesn't, it's not short, you know. You know, oh well, I'm through with him. That's the end of that. Yeah, no. That's not love. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not push itself forward. It is not puffed up or proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Not easily angered. It's not ready to suspect evil. That's what he says, that it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know, bears all things. It always protects. It's willing to carry the load, bearing all things. You know, and this, of course, I think you'd have to say is the ideal, right? This is, I mean, who does this all the time? Let's be honest, you know. But our manner of life should be that we are willing to go the extra mile and do all that we possibly can, carrying the load, bearing all things, believing all things, you know. I know I've heard people say from time to time, I don't trust anybody. Huh? You don't trust anybody. Well, I mean, that may be true in many areas of life, But I'm not saying we're supposed to believe fairy tales, you know, stuff that doesn't make sense, like a boy can be a girl can be a boy, right? Yeah. That's foolishness, isn't it? We don't believe that. But the truth of the Word of God and the truth as it's presented, we should trust. He hopes all things. He's always, well, not just optimistic, but don't always look on the dark side. After all, God is not dead. Is he? No. Hope. Hope keeps us going. And it endures all things. He always perseveres. Keeps on going. Doesn't give up. And doesn't quit. We see the permanence of love here, beginning in verse 8. Love never fails. It's there. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They don't always hold true. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And you can take that any kind of way you want to. I know there's all kind of arguments. Has tongues ceased? Has it not? And all that. But you have to take this into your mind, you know. Tongues are going to cease one of these days. Right? We're all going to leave this world, right? Our tongue is not going to be used anymore. So whatever way you want to use that, anyway, they're going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. People forget. You know? You know, you study all of your life. You go to school. You start in grade school, high school, college, or whatever. Even go beyond that. And get so important and so knowledgeable. But then when you get older, it all starts fading away, doesn't it? Maybe you haven't gotten there yet, but it's coming. So anyway, knowledge vanishes away. But love does not. Love is something that's eternal. The gifts are all going to fade away. But love will endure forever. Because what? God is love. There it is. And he is not going anywhere. Love will endure forever. Someday faith will give way to sight. Hope will give way to a full realization. Love will never end. God's love for us and our love for him will be fully realized when we come into his presence. So, the more excellent way then is the way of love. God has shown his love for us in so many ways. All of the beauty of the earth and all of the wonderful blessings that he gives us. And above all, in giving his only begotten Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. Jesus showed his love by willingly laying down his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And he showed his love, and we love him because he first loved us. And we are to love one another as he commanded us. So we have here. This is the way, the more excellent way, the way of love. And now we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where Jesus showed his great love for us. So, let's see, what is the song? Look here. More Love to Thee, 634 in your hymn books.